Good morning, Kansas City. This is the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. It's Victory Monday, September 13, 2021. Stephen St. John and Todd Lebo with Jake Gutierrez. Thank you so much for joining us on Sports Radio 810 and 38th is Spot.
The Chiefs awesome.
Beat the Browns 33-29 at Arrowhead Stadium yesterday. Crank it up, Jake Gutierrez! Today on the show, we'll hear plenty of post-game sounds from Arrowhead Stadium. Todd Lebo was out there covering the game for Sports Radio 810 WHB. We'll also get Gary Lezak's thoughts and get his forecast before 8 o'clock. Sam Mellinger from the Kansas City Star will be in studio in the 8 o'clock hour. We're going to talk to former Chiefs defensive lineman Bill Moss, who will join us every Monday to talk football with us at 9:05, and then Adam Teicher from ESPN. He covers the Chiefs. That's your Monday lineup right there. Todd Lebo, Gary Lezak, Sam Mellinger, Bill Moss, and Adam Teicher. And Todd Lebo's right here with us, rubbing his hands together. He's very excited to talk about this game. Now, look, we got 4 hours to break down this game. There's all these different storylines. So many things happened. What a wild game to start off the NFL season. But it comes down to this, and I hate to just boil it down to this. Because, you know, then I could just leave and go home and say, hey, here, let me tell you what happened in less than a minute. Okay? Here is what happened yesterday between the Chiefs and Browns. All right? The team that had Mahomes won the game.
That's pretty much what it was.
That's the difference. That's the difference in the football game. And people want to talk about, you know, oh, the Browns have the best roster of 1-53. When you should care about who has the best roster at the top spot, the number one spot, that's the quarterback. The main difference in that football game yesterday, because Baker Mayfield, all right, all credit to you, Oklahoma Todd, Sooner Lebo.
These are Texas Tech quarterbacks.
He played very well. Baker Mayfield played very, very well for most of the game. But when Jake says it all the time, he references Gary Pinkel and what he used to say about, you know, what happens when you teabag a quarterback. What is it? That's what you said. No. Right before the show, you said that. It's like what Pinkel said.
Yeah, you teabag the quarterback.
When you...
It's
remarkable.
When you... hold on. You can't teabag the quarterback unless the water's hot.
No. Hot water.
You don't know what tea
the quarterback
is until you don't put it in hot water.
No.
Quarterbacks are like teabags. You don't know what you got until you put them in hot water.
Got it.
I told you.
You knew it.
Right before the show, I had it.
There's a couple things because...
I had it.
Patrick's Patrick.
Right.
But Patrick also has... it was the third and... third and something, 7 or 8 or something. And Baker threw the ball down to their number 10, and he almost caught a ball.
Yeah.
Their number 10 is not as good as the Chiefs' number 10. The Chiefs' number 10 was on fire yesterday.
He's
and
pretty good, too.
Their number 10 is pretty good, but he's not quite... Chiefs number 10.
No.
I'll tell you what, who was impressive in that game? Well, listen, Travis
Patrick
Kelce.
Mahomes.
Travis Kelce's just, I don't know how he's underrated, but he's underrated.
He's the best ever.
Anytime you just.
He's the best ever.
How do they in
he's the. He's the best ever.
Do you think.
You're sitting in the.
The teams
in the,
should put a linebacker on him in the red zone.
They gave him like 7 yards of space at the 8 yard line.
He's the best tight end ever to live.
The Browns are basically just the Chiefs light because. Njoku's very good, but he's not Travis Kelce.
He's not the best ever.
He's not the best ever. And their 10 looks like a fine player, but Tyreek Hill, let's say this, Tyreek Hill might be the best wide receiver ever who's not like a 6-foot guy. I mean, this is no Randy Moss or Jerry Rice. This is a 5'9" guy.
Steve Smith.
He's better than Steve Smith, okay?
Yeah.
All right, so this is the top two or three short
Steve Smith's pretty damn good, but I'm just trying to think of, you know.
I would say speed receiver.
Yeah.
A guy who depends
on...
Well,
Randy Moss is probably in his prime faster than Tyreek.
I'm not even sure. It's not fair to call...
I'm just talking about a short guy.
It's not fair to call Tyreek as a speed receiver, either.
Historically amazing talent at quarterback, tight end, wide receiver.
Under 6 foot receiver.
I would say under 5'10", because I don't think he's 5'10". Well, I mean, he's incredible.
Steve Smith.
So, but the Browns look almost like the Chiefs, but almost like the Chiefs is not good enough.
Again.
That's the difference. They're just not quite what the Chiefs are.
Whatever it is... The difference in that game, it ruins all the analysis and everything else.
Their long-haired punter dropped a snap. Well, the Chiefs' long-haired punter.
Okay, but I've seen him. I'm not gonna praise him because I've seen him.
You praise
in
him.
The Super Bowl, and so he'll have to play a whole season and a whole postseason.
What happened?
Before I start bragging about him catching snaps?
The difference is Mahomes.
Point is, it's Patrick Mahomes.
Yes.
Okay. When the game, when the quarterback is in hot water, when the game's on the line, he makes unbelievable plays. He needs help. Of course he does. He has to throw it to somebody. They have to block for him. All these other things. But Patrick Mahomes is the greatest quarterback I've ever seen. The greatest quarterback that unless you're a hater, you admit that he does things that aren't normal that you haven't seen before.
Remarkable.
And when it comes down to it, it's like, you know, what we talked about two Super Bowls ago at Radio Row the whole week down there, right? Down in Miami. You know, the 49ers and their roster's better 1 through 53. You got to look at the defensive line. Blah, blah, blah. Okay. Who's the quarterback and what are they going to do in the fourth quarter? And you saw that. What did Mahomes do in the fourth quarter? What did Garoppolo do in the fourth quarter? Now, I do think Baker Mayfield is better than Garoppolo, but again, what happens in the fourth quarter? You saw what Patrick Mahomes did, and unfortunately for Cleveland fans, you saw what Baker Mayfield did. He played a hell of a game. That was a hell of a quarterback out there. There were a couple of times in that game, I looked at Phil St. John, I said, boy, Baker Mayfield's even better than he was last year.
This does look better.
This cat is...
But they're not the Chiefs.
No, but he's not Patrick Mahomes.
No.
And so then you get to that point where they need a big drive and he goes three and out. Or, and look, here's the deal, man. Cleveland's defense did their job there at the end and they got the ball back to the offense with a chance to win it. Let's not forget that. Cleveland went out there on a third down when you're thinking, okay, Patrick's going to come up with something special and deliver the football to Kelce or Hill, or he'll run for the first down, and they're going to ice the game. But then they played a game called Meet Me at the Quarterback, and the Chiefs lost that little game. And then they're off the field. Hey, look, there's a little bit of, oh, boy.
Stevens
okay.
Going back out here one more time.
Okay, they got to get one more stop. And and let me tell you, the Browns were in no hurry on that final drive. They were just tick-tocking away, and I don't know what you guys were talking about in the press box, but even Tony Romo was like, hey, they got
to hustle here.
And you know, and then, of course, in the back of their mind, I'm sure they're thinking, hey, we're going to try to drive down here and score, but also
not leaving,
any time.
I have 20 seconds left.
But guess what? That jacks with your mind.
Yeah.
When you're the Browns, all you should be thinking, hey, we got to score here.
Well, if you're the Browns,
score here.
I would think this. If you're a Browns fan, If you'd have told me the Browns were going to go -2 in turnovers and drop a punt snap that doesn't count as a turnover and be in the game and have a chance to do something in, you ought to be pretty excited. I would think the Browns 2 years ago, if they give them that scenario, they lose this game by 3 touchdowns. So they're an improving team, but they're not ready to come into Arrowhead Stadium and win a game like that. And they look all right. They're fine, okay? But the Chiefs still, to me, with Patrick Mahomes, and by the way, they played this game without Tyrann Mathieu, without Frank Clark, the entire game.
Without Willie Gay, three defensive starters.
Three defensive
Browns
starters.
Browns didn't have Odell Beckham.
All
Browns lost their left tackle. Browns,
The Patrick Mahomes and the combination, he was so funny after the game when he said he threw the 75-yard touchdown. He's like, I just saw this little hand fly up, and he just threw the ball down there. Well, that's insanity for almost every quarterback to just throw the ball down the field to some little hand. But when the little hand is Tyreek Hill, and he just catches it and just walks into the end zone.
The arm talent, the field vision, the athleticism to throw across your body, all those things on full display. But the bottom line is this. When the game was on the line, Baker Mayfield threw a back-breaking interception that cost his team the game.
Yeah.
That's it. And when the game was on the line, Patrick Mahomes didn't.
I do think Kevin Stefanski is a good coach, and having a coach for 2 years in a row is a feat for the Browns. So that's probably why they're going to be an improved team and all that stuff. But did you understand why they had just been running the ball down the Chiefs' throat all day long? Then they get the ball back, and they're just in the shotgun. That's the Chris Jones sack to start the thing going on the Chiefs' defense. They weren't like two scores down. I don't know what they were doing. He should have just kept running the ball. Because, by the way, Baker Mayfield had a nice day. He didn't throw a touchdown pass, right? He just moved the ball down the field, and they used the run game. I thought Stefanski kind of got a little bakery, a little jittery in the fourth quarter and coached the way he wasn't coaching in the first half, and I think that cost him, too. He's still a young coach in the league. It's going to take him a while to figure that stuff out. Because, I mean, they were in for an all-day affair that first drive. When the Browns are like, all right, we're going to go for fourth down. Oh, you made a penalty? Well, let's go for two. We're only at the 1 yard line. They were going to do that. And that fourth quarter is more like, we're going to punt the ball away. We're going to try to play the way we have been playing all day. I thought he got out of his head.
It's all window dressing. And we're going to talk about all of it because it all matters at certain levels. But the bottom line, the number one takeaway is, yeah, the Browns may have established themselves, and they made a case for being the second-best team in the AFC. That looked like a hell of a football team. But the bottom line is this. The team with Patrick Mahomes won the game.
Do you
That's
like Patrick Mahomes?
Oh, hell yes, I love him. But Baker Mayfield and the Browns' offense, they did something they couldn't do in the divisional round. They got a stop, and they got the football back in their offensive hands with a chance to win the game. And Baker Mayfield threw the interception that ended it. Patrick Mahomes made the plays when he had to. That 75-yard touchdown that Todd brought up, we could talk about that for 4 hours. And that's when, I don't know when was the that's when I knew moment. That's when I knew. That's when you're watching that. That's, well, Chiefs going to win that game. It's like Mahomes was offended that they were down two scores so late in the game. And the Browns were starting to celebrate. You start to feel it. And even the announce crew. So the Browns just took a big step to winning this game at Arrowhead Stadium. And they didn't even have a chance to really talk about it. Rich. One play, 75 yards, just like that. Bam! A haymaker that lands, and the Browns went from showboating maybe and celebrating to then they were taking a count from the ref. They got knocked down. They got back up,
and they were still winning the game. And that was my point of that drive. The next drive, then they just go play football. And they went back there and they got in shotgun. Chris Jones took the game over. Andy Reid said after the game, took the game over in the fourth quarter, got that sack, and then the whole game was different. From that little time you talk about, the 75-yard touchdown, and then the Browns not playing like they're ahead. Playing like they're behind, and Chris Jones making a Chris Jones play.
It rattled their cages, man.
Yeah, absolutely.
It scares the hell out of you because you think you got everything under control, and one play, 75 yards, just like that. Oh, Jesus, we got to go score.
By the way,
yeah.
The crowd was crazy, like on a Delta flight, but it was pretty dead there until then. That place got quiet after halftime. It had been a long day of partying out there, and they weren't playing well, and it was kind of like, is someone going to make a play? And Patrick and Tyreek Hill made the play to turn it around.
The Chiefs win 33-29. Back after this on WHB.
Listen, that's a good front seven. So I thought they held their own and really did a nice job. I mean, to get the run game going like that against that crew, I thought was big. We had the one sack at the end that kind of, you know, that. But that shouldn't ruin the rest of what they did. I mean, I was pretty impressed. Now. Yang probably had the toughest job of all of them. And he bared down and pushed through. And these are young guys now. Young guys in there and against a veteran group of linemen, so defensive linemen.
Yeah, I thought they did a great job. There was times I would drift it back just a little bit too far. Kind of got, and they were getting the guys coming on that 10-yard area, and I had to step up pretty quickly. But we'll continue to work on that. They're doing a great job of being firm in the front and kind of edging those guys, so I can step up into the pocket. And they did a great job today against, like you said, a really good defensive line.
Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Patrick Mahomes passed Dan Marino for most passing touchdowns in NFL history through first 50 games of a career. And he also passed Kurt Warner for most passing yards in NFL history through the first 50 games in a career. And he did it in 47 games. And so he surpasses two Hall of Famers there.
Has he passed Dan Marino in any other category?
Super Bowls.
Oh, a lot
Super
of them.
One? Yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah.
We're getting there.
Yeah.
Super Bowl. Also,
they do a segment on NFL game day morning where it's Steve Mariucci does a thing. It's called Break Kurt's Records. Like every week someone's breaking a Kurt Warner record. It's usually Patrick Mahomes because Kurt Warner had the good start at the beginning. It's pretty funny. Poor Kurt Warner. He was he was this guy with all these records for not young quarterbacks, but young and NFL experienced quarterbacks. And Patrick's just basically taking all his records away.
By the way, the Kurt Warner movie looks like the worst thing that's been made.
The most poorly acted
ever.
Movie of all time.
Like it looks like it could have the worst football scenes of any major motion picture.
Have you seen the trailer?
Did you see the trailer, Jake? Do you know that this is happening?
No, I had no idea. But I also didn't know that Kurt Warner's son played football at K-State.
Yeah. Yeah.
I had no idea.
I just saw that last week.
I know. Obviously, I have some K-State ties, and it was pointed out to me.
Apparently not.
What are the K-State ties?
Oh, my girlfriend.
Oh, does she?
Yeah, she went to K-State.
K-Staters.
Yeah. She goes, hey, did you know Kurt Warner's son plays K-State?
You learned something.
We'll give you two guesses as to who plays Dick Vermeil in the Kurt Warner movie.
Greg Kinnear.
American Underdog. No. This is the guy that has made many a sports movie.
Kevin Costner.
That's who I was going to say.
Right behind. I bet he's behind Costner for most sports movies.
Tim Robbins.
No. Do you know?
I don't know. I didn't remember the Vermeil guy. I just know
this guy's made a bunch of good sports movies.
The guy who plays Kurt Warner is the guy who was in Shazam or Flash or one of those.
It looks terrible.
Yeah.
This man that plays Vermeil, his brother is absolutely 100% nuts. And
Quaid?
Yeah.
Randy Quaid?
Yeah.
So this is
Dennis Quaid. Yes, Dennis Quaid plays.
Hey, Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes talking about the offensive line. I think this kind of got overlooked a little bit yesterday because as someone, we got to go out there and cover the game. We didn't get to go into the locker room, okay? So we just got who they gave us at the podium. And they're only going to give us five people, and they're not going to send a bunch of offensive linemen up there to the podium because they had other people to put up there. We didn't even get like Travis Kelce, and he was awesome yesterday. That's how it's going to be. And normally you'd get a chance to hear from all those rookies if we were in the locker room. They played really well, I thought. They did a really nice job, and that was my trepidation, my fear about the season, is they hadn't had a lot of time to play together yet. They got to play in the preseason games, but a couple of drives here, almost a half here. That was a full all day, you're not subbing out anything time against a legit team, and I thought they did a really nice job. Couple of Niang had a couple of penalties, and then I think Creed Humphrey needs to learn the difference in college rules and pro rules on going downfield because he got hit on that twice. But they were good. I mean, they didn't. I would rather have a penalty like that than a quarterback laying on the ground a bunch. And that they did a really good job, I thought. And Orlando Brown, for me, is still not a given. I thought he was very good.
Play that Mahomes clip again that we played just coming back from break, because he said something there. That last sack that gave the Browns the ball back with a chance to win it, play Mahomes talking about, and he mentioned about dropping back too far.
Yeah, I thought they did a great job. There was times I would drift it back just a little bit too far. They were getting the guys coming on that 10-yard area, and I had to step up pretty quickly. But we'll continue to work on that. They're doing a great job of being firm in the front and kind of edging those guys, so I can step up into the pocket.
He said, I was watching the game, Romo, immediately after that last sack, and I don't know, man, because both the guys, both Garrett and Clowney got there quick. He said he thought that Mahomes drifted too far back and should have stepped up. I don't know if he had time to recognize that, but that's something. But even Mahomes said that after the game.
Yeah, he didn't.
If you're
that.
Watching the game and listening to Romo's commentary, he thought he drifted too far back. But
he's probably still. I mean, that's right. What the Super Bowl was, Jake. I don't know if you've seen the tape of the Super Bowl.
No, I haven't missed.
But he spent. He was 15, 17 right. yards back, just drifting the whole time. It's going to take Patrick a little while too to get used to maybe not having to drift back too far. Because I noticed early in the game that he wasn't drifting back too far. It was pretty much set. So I just think it was obviously a vast improvement over what happened in Tampa.
And that's a terrific defensive line. It's a terrific
yes.
front seven.
So this is going to be a topic all year, and I thought they passed the test because Patrick wasn't on his back a lot. Because, listen, he didn't get sacked 9 times in the Super Bowl, but he got hit a whole bunch of times. He got hit a few here. But then you're going to get hit when you're playing the Browns. They have some good players on that team. But I'll say this also, Patrick Mahomes, still the best in the business at drawing people off sides with his cadence. He got him 3 times
He's
in the first half. He was absolutely clowny, got clowned himself 2 times. And Patrick, that's the only bad passes he threw yesterday were the ones where he knew it was a free play, and he just kind of threw him down there. Other than that, he was sharp. He really has all of that stuff.
How many pass rushers would you say are better than Myles Garrett in the league?
Not many.
A handful.
Three, maybe five.
Watt, maybe. Yeah. You know, I mean,
Aaron Donald's from the middle, but he's
right,
just better than everyone.
You're talking about pass rusher.
Chandler Jones.
I would say,
put him after his 5-sack performance yesterday.
Myles Garrett's top 5 guy.
Right. And so just that's all. Just remember that. When you're judging the Chiefs' offensive line, judge also who they went up against because
he might be behind Chris Jones.
And I get it. We bitch and complain about everything. I mean, Twitter was a cesspool for 3 quarters of that game. I understand that.
But it's mostly 100%
you complain. Of the time it's
successful,
complain about this, bitch about that. But remember, the Browns are a hell of a football team, and there's every chance that was the second best team in the AFC
yep.
that the Chiefs butted heads with yesterday. I tweeted out, can't wait to see the rematch in the AFC Championship game. A lot of stuff has happened between now and then. But, you know, if you think it's Buffalo, well, that took a hit yesterday.
At home.
Pittsburgh won at Buffalo. I'm still not ready to declare it at Pittsburgh. Cleveland looks the part. Cleveland has every opportunity to be the number one contender to the Chiefs AFC Championship this year. And Myles Garrett is fabulous. They have that offensive line is loaded. And so I just remind people in the midst of complaining about different things that happen and you know, oh, woe is me about the Chiefs doing this and that and the game was, you know, they had to come back. Cleveland's a hell of a football
yeah,
team.
They are.
And again, I don't know. Nobody knows after one week.
I do.
Right? But that might be the second best team in the AFC that the Chiefs just beat. That was they played a respectable game in the divisional round of the playoffs last year and came up short. They came in here and they gave the Chiefs all they wanted. They don't have Mahomes. We do. That's the difference. But the Browns are a good-ass football team.
Well, I think they're an ascending team, too.
Real
and
good.
And there's someone to keep your eyeballs on.
And a real good
if
coach.
If they continue
yeah.
to learn and get better, they're still – we've talked about this a whole bunch of times. Having the same coach for 2 years in a row is a feat in Cleveland.
Right.
And if he continues to grow, and he will learn, Kevin Stefanski will learn from the way he coached the second half of that game, and they will probably come back and be a better team from that. Because sometimes you got to take some lumps when you learn.
But
the Chiefs after the game said, you know what, you'd always rather learn from a win than a loss. The Browns are going to have to learn from a loss.
The bottom line is this, though, for your guy, Boomer Sooner, Baker Mayfield. He can be your guy.
He's a Texas
I like
Tech
Baker Mayfield, you know. The video when he dances for I love it. And so the bottom line is this: what's going to tell the difference for them? What's going to show whether or not they can be that team that contends for an AFC championship against the Chiefs? Baker Mayfield got to make those plays in the fourth quarter.
Can't throw that
last
pick.
When you got the ball against a team like the Chiefs at the end of the game. You got to put it in the end zone. You got to win the game. You can't throw that interception. Well, I was trying to throw it out of bounds. Well, I don't know. That's going to be the difference for them. Baker Mayfield's going to have some games. They're going to be on his arm and his legs. At the end of the fourth quarter, he's got to come through for them to be true contenders in the AFC. Back after this on WHB.
It was crazy. Like, you guys keep that up, man, because my eardrums are crazy right now. I feel like I'm on a Delta flight. It's crazy.
By the way, Tyreek Hill wins the post-game press conference award for many comments, including dropping an F-bomb. We'll hear that
and the
A-bomb. Just a little bit. Here, let me
A-H.
Let me just get this off my chest, too. And it's nothing we all don't know, right, about Patrick Mahomes.
Are you going to be clear with your thoughts about Patrick Mahomes yet? Why are you making this such a puzzle?
It's just something, you know, you when you have the perspective, like say, like we do, of watching this team for half a century, you know, Jake doesn't count because he didn't watch the Super Bowl. But
yeah, never will. I'm okay with that.
It's hard to describe what it's like to watch Patrick Mahomes as your quarterback. It's so thrilling.
There's no words.
And it's very difficult to describe. And like the entertainment value is through the roof. And you watch this, and I know, like you know, I tweeted up, man, that was so much fun. And people, is that what you call it? Yeah, that is what I call it. Because from beginning to end, there's nothing that I could possibly watch. A movie, my favorite TV series, a big fight. There's nothing that I could watch that entertains me more than watching that kid play quarterback for 4 hours. It's just it didn't exist. There's nothing else that I could watch that is more thrilling or more entertaining. And it honestly, it's still hard to believe that he plays quarterback for the Chiefs.
Spoiled. Anyone who's like 15 years old who loves this team, spoiled.
Right.
Because they're going to get this for 10 more years.
God bless them that they don't have to go through all the crap that we went through and all the quarterbacks and all the.
So I got home last night.
All the heartbreaking losses that shaped us into the Chiefs fans that we are now. But I just want to.
All the foul language
right.
We would hear our fathers say.
Right. It's funny you bring that up. And I sit there just and marvel, right? And so I after the game, waiting to hear the press conference, I just sit there like my grandfather, who that's who I, and my mom, that's who made me, you know, Chiefs fans. We'd watch all the games. You're like, what the hell would my grandfather think watching Patrick Mahomes?
He would understand. This brand of football is not familiar.
What would my mom think just watching him?
Yeah.
You know, and I look at and listen to what my kids are talking about, and like, well, I don't even know what I think watching him. And it's just, it's like a dream come true for us. And we're so lucky that we, as Chiefs fans, are alive to see this and to go through this. It's just...
It's a perfect marriage because Andy Reid is a great coach, right? And they've got great players in the team, too. I mentioned it. I mean, Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce, two of the best there's ever been. And you put them with one of the best there's ever been at quarterback. It's a magical thing, right? So I got home last night. I'm watching the Rams. Did you know Jared Goff doesn't play for the Rams now, Jake?
Yeah, no, I saw him try. He looked like Matt Stafford playing for the Lions.
Stop right there.
Coming from behind.
Let me tell you something.
Trying to.
That fight, that never give up attitude that Dan Campbell's Detroit Lions had
yesterday. Almost got it done.
Had me ready to text Jeff Jadea. Let me tell you something. That was fun.
Yeah, it was.
You were talking about, you've been had a couple hours. That was fun as hell.
But I'm sitting here watching this Bears game, right?
Misses that, though.
And the Bears have Matt Nagy, who's Andy Reid's protege.
Again!
And they have...
What a waste of time to have Andy Dalton starting your quarterback.
So Andy Dalton...
What a stupid...
Andy Dalton completes 70% of his passes last night. Okay, he's 27 to 38. Patrick was 27 to 36 yesterday, but Andy Dalton barely threw for 200 yards, and Patrick threw for 300. It's just, it's like they had, and listen, I love Alex Smith, tough, gutty guy who did a lot of stuff, got the most with what he had, but Andy Dalton is kind of Alex Smith, right? A whole lot of dink and dunk and not taking your real chances. So they have the perfect thing right now. They have the quarterback with the magical arm, and the never say die attitude, and the just caution to the wind,
and the coach with
guys.
The football mind to unlock it all.
Well, and I do think this: Andy Reid is still not totally unlocked on this stuff because, like, he kicked the field goal in the first half. He didn't, you know. So there's
we'll get to all that.
I think he'll kind of get there eventually. And it's taken Patrick because Andy was kind of in the Alex Smith shell a little bit too, right? So he's coming out of that a bit. I will say this about Alex Smith. Did you see his interview with Patrick on ESPN? Right? I think Alex will be fine as a commentator. I thought he did a pretty good job. And I think he fits in doing that. I'm happy for him that he's not going out there putting his body in harm's way playing football anymore because I really do like him, and I don't want to take away from the professionalism that he gave this organization as an actual real NFL quarterback when he came in here in 2013.
Because this place was a mess. Great commercial with Greg Olsen and Patrick Willis.
I didn't see that one.
You didn't see that?
Mm-mm. Is there a good one?
Like a Frito-Lay commercial.
Okay.
But he did a nice job on the set, too, talking. That's tough when your very first time getting on a set. You know, when you're out there, I thought he did okay, and I'm glad he's doing that. And I think it'll be good. Hopefully, you know, when you have Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs are a big story, that people come here a lot to do interviews, and he could maybe be that inside guy to come and talk to the Chiefs and get that stuff out there. But Andy Dalton and these guys and these offenses, are, like Bears fans.
Quit bringing up Andy Dalton. It makes me angry.
You didn't like to see Andy Dalton?
No. Who does?
Besides
Matt Nagy, who wants to see that?
I do.
I don't know if Matt Nagy likes
see
either.
Him fail all year long.
No, but Justin Fields will be starting in 2 weeks, probably, right?
No, but like you sit out on a Sunday night, right? And I'm getting, you know, hey, I'm saying, and I'll be honest with you, you know, I passed on a good chunk of that game last night for Billions because Billions is so good. You know,
I don't have Showtime right now.
I don't know if Axe is biting off more than he can chew. But guess what? Chunk's coming after his ass again. I don't know what's happening, but who? In their right football mind, wants to sit there and watch the Rams take on the Bears led by Andy Dalton. The Bears wouldn't have won it, but let's see this young dynamic quarterback.
Well, there's two ways to go about it. I think it worked perfectly for the Chiefs that Patrick Mahomes got to sit and watch for a while.
Say what, though?
It's fine. But Justin Fields will be starting sooner than later.
Andy Dalton, no. The Chiefs had a reason to be loyal to Alex Smith.
You don't think the Bears have a reason?
What's your point? Let me tell you, though, fantasy football, let me tell you something. Everyone said you benched David Montgomery against the Rams, and I didn't. He looks real good. Fantasy alert on Sports Radio 810 WHP.
Man, I'm f***ing fired up, man. I'm feeling good, you know, especially in all that fear right there. I really want to throw the peace sign and do a backflip, but I was like, I do not want to get fined. You know, so I was just like, but yeah, I'm feeling good at that point. You know, after I caught that pass, I'm like, yeah, I'm finna go do something crazy. But then I felt my legs like, don't even do no backflip. I would have landed on my neck too. Crazy.
Let's not do any backflips.
There's nothing like 7 seconds before saying you don't want to get fined, dropping an F-bomb in an NFL press conference. I don't know if that's fine.
Man, I'm
f***ing
fired up, man.
I'm sure he'll.
It was a wild press conference.
Well, good.
Man, I'm fired up, man.
So notice I saved complaints until the end of the hour because I think we need to celebrate that opening season victory and celebrate Patrick Mahomes. I'm just
going
to tell you the two things about Andy Reid that I didn't like yesterday, like you talked about, and it's necessary to mention them. The Browns went up 8-0, and the Chiefs got the ball, drove down the field, and they had a 4th-and-2 at the Cleveland 10. Go for it. And I'm to the point now, unless it's, you know, the end of the game and you're down 3-2-1.
You're ready to be like the Presbyterian college coach.
Fine.
Go for it all.
Fine. And there's not much time left. I'm sure that there's scenarios you can paint where you kick the field goal. That ain't one of them.
We call it the Madden rules. We're ready for the Madden rules.
You'd already taken a quick look at Cleveland's offense against your defense. You have the greatest quarterback on the planet on your team.
And the greatest tight end in the red zone.
In the red zone. And Tyreek Hill's unstoppable, whatever else. You have this new-look offensive line that's supposed to be able to handle the point of attack and short yards a little bit better. If it's 4th-and-2 at the 10... All apologies to Harrison Butker being on my fantasy football team, the competitive pricks. It helps me from the kick field goals, but I'll say, Patrick Mahomes, go for it. I did not agree with the decision there. I thought there was a chance it was going to come back to bite Andy Reid. 4th-and-2 at the Cleveland 10. Go for it.
In the end, it worked out. Now, here's the thing, too. When you're the better team, I guess I get it playing a little bit conservative, but it's 2021.
Yeah, go for it.
You have this team, and we've seen this happen before. Like, the Browns came in to go win, right? That first half, that's how they were playing. And I think after what you saw they did, I think you should probably be a little more aggressive.
You have Patrick Mahomes go for it, and that's it worked out yesterday, but I want them to have that mindset moving forward. And number two, and I still don't know what the hell was going on, at the end of the half, the Chiefs should have called a timeout. Not to get the ball back, but
to make them punt.
You call a timeout and you force Cleveland to punt so they don't attempt.
That play got scary.
A Hail Mary. Yes, they got scary. And a Hail Mary, the chances are not good that you're going to complete the pass, okay? But the chances are much better if you don't let them attempt a Hail Mary. And so if you call the timeout, you force them to punt, and you don't have to defend a stupid play like that at the end of the game. Just two gripes, two complaints about decisions from Andy Reid. Back into this on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Thanks for watching us on 38 The Spot. We've got plenty of post-game sound for you. Gary Lezak, Sam Mellinger, Bill Moss, Adam Teicher, Todd Lebo is here. I'm here. My name is Steven. Jake Gutierrez, you're here. It's a Victory Monday. The Kansas City Chiefs beat the Cleveland Browns 33-29. All is good in this hood on Sports Radio 810 WHB.